In Jesus' name. In summary, Amos has five visions recorded in chapters 7 and 8. Our reading, the second one, offers three of them, and each of them is a conversation between Amos and Yahweh. In the first vision, the vegetation of the land is consumed by locusts. Amos pleads to Yahweh for mercy. Yahweh relents. Some translations say Yahweh repents, and the swarming locusts do not happen. In the second vision, fire is summoned to devour the land. Amos pleads for mercy. Yahweh relents, and the fire does not happen. In the third vision, Yahweh sets a plumb line, or something like that, to measure whether the wall, Israel, is structurally true. And finding that it is not, Israel has been unfaithful, visions that the wall, the shrines of Isaac, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be destroyed. Here, Amos is silent, except to say early on that he sees the plumb line. And the predicted destruction, as it turns out, is what did happen. See the process? Evil is recognized. Yahweh is asked for and shows mercy. Evil is recognized. Yahweh is asked for and shows mercy. But the third time this sequence doesn't happen, evil is recognized. There is no plea from Amos. Destruction is foretold and eventually comes to pass. My read here, while God has no delight in bad things happening to folks when they engage in doing bad or unhealthy or destructive or evil things, there are times that more or less natural consequences of this kind of behavior do actually happen, even sometimes seen as God's judgment. Here, I should, I suppose, angrily rail into worldly evils of this generation and God's judgment on such if the world stays the way that it is, and we could all leave feeling quite smug and satisfied. Nope. Rather, let's talk about how this process works in your life and in mine. It's a dynamic of spiritual warfare, actually. Think about something in your life that you do, and then ask for forgiveness and mercy, and then do it again and ask for forgiveness and mercy, and then do it again and ask for forgiveness and mercy, and that becomes the pattern. Is there any time that the line is crossed? Is it possible that Bonhoeffer's cheap grace can actually be operative in your spiritual life and in mine? And this dynamic be going on when the forgiveness process really gets so embedded in the doing forgiving, doing forgiving, doing forgiving, that it colludes to actually enable the behavior? In other words, we get locked into the dynamic in the process, and what ends up is the behavior continues. Addiction processes often follow this pattern. Drink, get drunk, be repentant, be forgiven, drink again. Demean a colleague, be repentant, be forgiven, demean again, be repentant. Cheat someone, be sorry, take care of guilt, cheat again. Darkness gets a toehold, and then a foothold, and then a body hold, then a body slam. At some point, the bottom can be hit in our lives with any behavior that persists like that in this passive process. It need not be the destruction of the country. The body is worn away, the psyche exhausted, the friendships abandoned, and ministry in shambles. It's a process. It's almost like becoming comfortable with our challenges, our sin, the will to fight actively is weakened. But it need not be so. Take a moment in this taizé silence following this homily, and in the times that follow, identify the repetitive challenges of unhealth or destructiveness or evil in your life. Keep it not a secret. Talk about it with colleagues in safe spaces and with those that can walk with you. Work on it. Fight the battle. Interrupt the process. For you and I are baptized. We are living with the Holy Spirit in us. We have Jesus as our constant companion. We are surrounded by folks who can and will walk together with us. We are by no means alone. Jesus stands alongside. Even the prophet Amos ends with the promise, "Once more I shall plant them on their own soil, and never again will they be uprooted from the soil I have given them. It is the word of the Lord your God." Indeed, it is the word of the Lord, for in Jesus, as it was for the children of Israel, God never abandoned them, even in the midst of their sin, and they never ceased being God's chosen. And so it is with you and with me, and that is hopeful and remarkable and energizing and helps us fight the good fight. And for all that Jesus is at our side, for all that as Jesus is at my side, I am very thankful to him. Amen.